And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome. Welcome to our Fastest 15. A lot of people have been emailing me, Nicole, and asking, are you okay? Because do I sound that bad? I didn't think I did.
Today is better. Yesterday was not amazing. And the day before that was real bad.
Your voice
has definitely been affected by whatever is going on with you.
I know. No, I've had a bad sore throat for 3 days now. I swear to you, I'm never getting vaccinated for anything again.
I know.
I got the Moderna and then I got the shingles. I'm never doing it again.
Well, you should never do them within the time frame that you did both of them. I think two was a bit much on your immune system.
I'm never doing anything again. I was fine. I was fine. I never got sick for 59 years. Then I started injecting garbage into my body, and all of a sudden, can't talk. Okay. Let's get to the fastest 15 here. But anyway, I'm fine for all the people who are asking. The voice is a little, but I got to start modulating the voice anyway, because, I've always been very, very loud and excitable. And eventually that just takes a toll. I can't sing anymore. When I'm in my car by myself, songs that I used to be able to sing along to and hit every note as well as I could hit them, because I never was much of a singer, but I did sing Old Man River for the Webster Elementary PTA when I was 6 years old, but that's another story. I wish I had a recording of it for you. But I can't hit high notes anymore.
Well,
I just heard the
talk about that often, about Elton John and Billy Joel. We've kind of said they have the same kind of troubles, so maybe
no.
It's just an age thing.
Elton John has the problem. Billy Joel has no trouble hitting high notes still. He's incredible. He has not. And I'll tell you the other one, Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates. There have been some new episodes of Live at Daryl's house, and he can still hit every note. He's amazing. But yeah, Daryl Hall and Billy Joel, they've had no problem. Elton John, it's just sad to go see him in concert, because so much of what he did was when he'd go up falsetto and all that stuff, and he can't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's very depressing.
It's rough on the vocal cords.
Makes me sad. No. Oh man. So you just got a message from a listener, Nicole, and I actually mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I guess, Sean, can we just make this a double shot of a cancel culture update here?
This is your cancel culture update.
So for some reason, I don't remember how or why it came up, but I was talking a couple of weeks ago about Taco Time Mexi Fries. And I started getting all these text messages from listeners who said, no, they don't call them Mexi Fries anymore. And I haven't eaten Taco Time for quite a while, so I guess I hadn't seen this or noticed it. But a listener just sent Nicole a picture from the North Bend Taco Time, which, by the way, is a fantastic Taco Time. I've been there many, many times.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The North Bend Taco Time, somebody sent a picture that confirms what all the texters told me a couple of weeks ago, that Mexi Fries are no more, that they are now called Tater Fries. So they don't even call them Tater Tots, because that apparently would be discriminatory to the young. And you can't call them Mexi. I don't know why. Why would that be offensive to anybody?
I don't know.
To call Mexi Fries Mexi Fries.
Right. Are we going to stop calling American cheese American? Is that offensive to us?
That's an excellent question. How about Swiss cheese? That's
Swiss,
a great point.
How about
why
Munster
can we still
cheese?
Call...
The, Munster, the Munsters would be offended if by Munster cheese.
Yes. No, why can we call Swiss cheese and American cheese? Why do we have French fries, but we can't have Mexi fries? None of it makes sense to me.
It's
all so arbitrary. So, and of course, what this reminded you of, Nicole, was...
My favorite episode
this is
of
your
the
favorite
Office.
Clip, because you're a huge fan and devotee of The Office. And of all the 9 seasons, this is your favorite clip? Is that right?
I think so. It's pretty good. I mean, it's in my top 5.
Okay. And this is what came to Nicole's mind when a listener reminded us that Mexi fries are no more.
Let me ask you, is there a term besides Mexican that you prefer? Something less offensive?
Mexican isn't offensive.
Well, it has certain connotations.
Like what?
Like, I don't know.
But what connotations, Michael?
No.
Must have meant something.
No. Now, remember.
I'm just curious.
Honesty.
Yeah.
Empathy. Respect.
You know what?
I
just rewatched The Office. I don't know. I hadn't seen every episode. I'd only seen maybe a half of them in the first run. So I watched the entire series a few months ago. And I don't know that. I don't think it would be allowed on the air in 2021.
I know. We say that about quite a few shows. I mean, Seinfeld, Friends, The Office, the 3 of the best shows in my book. And I don't think any of them would survive today.
No. Seinfeld, maybe. Maybe not the...
No way.
Where Kramer gets the wooden Indian that... and.
There's a lot
that
of
one
moments.
Wouldn't have made it.
That would not have made it.
No. But The Office, absolutely not. Because so much of that humor was based on exposing the foibles of people who are kind of moronic in their dealings with people. So anyway, at Taco Time, the Mexi fries, as we had been told a couple of weeks ago, they are no more. I have the official Taco Time menu in front of me, and they are now called Tater Fries. And so, Mexi Fries, you have been...
canceled.
Anytime is Taco Time.
Love those Mexi Fries. Can I still call them Mexi Fries? For crying out loud?
Well,
I don't know.
Free country.
I don't know what I can do anymore. I don't know what I can say. Everybody gets upset with me every single day. Everybody gets just horribly, horribly offended by me just speaking truth. Okay, what's our other cancel culture thing here, Nicole? What's the other one?
Do you have it in front of you?
No.
Are you really asking me?
I'm genuinely asking you. What's our other cancel culture?
It's on the list I sent you.
Which one? Tell me what it is.
It's a pie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that. No, that's not on the list that you sent me. That's why I thought maybe it had been substituted out or something.
I think it's there at the bottom. We just moved it right before the start of the segment.
Crying out loud. Okay, let me pull that up. Yeah, because this one struck me as being very important as well. Apple pie is now being gone after by cancel culture. And the reason for this, and I'm not making this up either. The words, you see, apple pie is not my favorite pie, but it's awfully good. It's no Costco cherry pie, but it's very tasty. But we should not be eating apple pie, we are told, by Raj Patel of the Guardian newspaper because of something called food injustice. And the reason for all of this is apple pie has deep roots in American colonialism and slavery. And this is how he starts his diatribe in the newspaper. Apple pie is not as American as it is made out to be. He suggests that apple pie is actually the product of cultural appropriation. Apple pie is a variant of an English pumpkin recipe, and that apples as we know them today did not originate in America. Apples were first domesticated in Central Asia, making the journey along the Silk Road to the Mediterranean 4,000 years ago. Apples traveled to the Western Hemisphere with Spanish colonists in the 1500s, and now it's understood that the Spanish colonists were part of a genocide of indigenous people. And then there's more. Sugar is not uniquely American either. Sugarcane, according to this newspaper guy, who is actually serious as he writes this, and I don't know how he can go on living if apple pie makes him this miserable, but sugarcane was first brought to the U.S. by Jesuits in 1751, but most sugar in the country and remained an import until the Haitian Revolution. When enslaved workers seized the French colony in 1791, European capitalists sought new sugarcane fields and workers, and French merchants of sugar and slavery landed in Louisiana in the late 1700s. So if you listening right now, if you can bite into a slice of apple pie without tasting slavery and genocide, then that says a lot about you. And what a horrible person you are. And so, and this guy goes on. It's not just apple pie, but bars of chocolate, tuna sandwiches, even a chicken nugget, all reflect the horrors of international trade, violence, exploitation, poverty, and profit. But the apple pie, he says, is as American as stolen land, wealth, and labor. And so I hate to do this because I enjoy a little apple pie every once in a while, but apple pie, you have been
canceled.
This has been a cancel culture update.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
My baby says I'm hot like apple pie. Yeah, he's so good with words. But
Nicole wanted an apple pie song. So,
I don't know if this is what she was thinking of, is it?
I don't know. What were you thinking of, Nicole?
I don't know. Maybe something
a little more.
I think there's an apple pie song.
Americana?
Well, maybe I American almost pie? Played Warren's Cherry Pie, but then I was like,
no,
Sean,
no, no,
you're an idiot.
That wouldn't have made any sense at all.
Yeah.
Who's the artist of apple pie here?
I'm going to guess that it's pronounced Xylo, X-Y-L-O. Never heard of the artist, but, you know, apparently she's hot as apple pie.
Maybe American Pie would have worked.
Yeah.
No, that's an awful sign. That's like Xylo. X-Y-L-O?
Yeah.
The only thing that comes up when I type in Xylo is online xylophone. A simple online vibrant digital xylophone, which actually sounds like a real xylophone.
Dory, you don't know how to work the internet.
No, Xylo. Oh, wait a second. It's also the alias of American singer-songwriter Paige Dudde. Xylo is a musical duo that consisted of Paige Dudde and her something.
Are you speaking English?
Yeah. And by the way, you didn't mention that the X, Y, L, and O are all capitalized.
Yeah.
And there's a slash through the O.
Yeah, I didn't mention that because, you know, I got to keep some of this song mysterious.
Hmm, okay. Yeah, it was Paige Dudde and her brother Chase that made up Xylo.
Okay.
Okay, I'm looking at a picture of her. And
she hot like apple pie or she canceled?
Well, given the choice, I'll...
All right, let's move on.
Never mind.
I'm not going to say anything. Because like I said, everybody gets offended at everything. I'm not going to say. No, you don't know what I was going to say.
Exactly.
I was going to finish that sentence. Nobody knows how I was going to finish it.
Offended.
Maybe I was going to talk about how lovely she is, or maybe I was going to talk about how delicious it is, and nobody knows how I was going to finish that. And that's the best. You leave them guessing. You leave them just, you know, with a little bit of curiosity. I think that's very important in this business. All right. Let's go.
I think everyone's curious about this segment.
I blame the throat. Okay, onward in the Fastest 15. There has been a huge shoplifting ring in Seattle. I've told you about this for over a year now, how people would walk into the downtown Nordstrom, Target, some of the other stores. I don't know if Macy's was open at the time. But they would walk in, and they would just walk out with huge armloads of fancy clothes. And the store workers have been ordered to not take on shoplifters. And then they would sit on the corner of 3rd Avenue, 3rd and Pike or 3rd and Pike, and they would sell the clothes they had just stolen with the tags still on them. And they'd sell them for, you know, half or 25% of what they were actually worth. And most of the shoplifters are drug addicts who were doing this so that they could get their next fix. Well, anyway, a huge shoplifting ring has just been busted in Seattle, but this gives you another idea of how pathetic the city is on crime. Seattle police arrested 53 shoplifters in a single day, during a citywide theft operation, but they immediately released 37 of the 53. They charged them, and then they immediately released them. There were a few who, four of them had warrants, so they held those, but 37 of the 53, they just released. Q13 News talked with Sergeant Randy Husrick of Seattle Police about why the shoplifters are stealing.
These are organized groups that hit retailers with the sole purpose of stealing to either resell them or use them as currency for other things.
And remember, the Seattle City Council last year, they proposed legalizing all shoplifting under $1,000. So if you wanted to walk in and out of a store with $800 by legalize, misdemeanor, but the prosecutor's office has already made it clear that they're not going to charge misdemeanor crimes. So the Seattle City Council was thinking about and is still considering legalizing shoplifting, and the Washington State Legislature, which has been taken over by a bunch of left-wing nuts, they proposed a statewide law that would make shoplifting under $900 a misdemeanor that wouldn't get charged, and some counties would still charge it, but King County certainly wouldn't. And we're going the wrong way. If the solution to rampant shoplifting is, let's legalize it. You'll get more of it, of course. And as the sergeant says, it's hurting everybody.
Not only does that impact the store itself with their losses and their bottom line, but the everyday people who walk into those stores that are buying things from those stores, because of the losses those stores are sustaining, they have to raise their prices, and then that impacts everybody.
Why would any business continue to operate in downtown Seattle? I do not understand why, when it's become such an impossible place to do commerce, and the sergeant told Q13 News that they aren't even trying to be sneaky about their shoplifting.
Oftentimes it's as simple as that. They'll just load up a shopping cart, walk out the door, you know, walk past the points of sale, and walk out the front door with it to an awaiting car, throw everything in the car, and take off.
That's what happens when you have an area that is not just soft on crime, but welcoming, encourages crime the way our region does. And that is your Fastest 15 for today.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes. We'll talk Mexi fries. Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then I'm going to talk to a dad up in Snohomish who's very upset with what is being taught, and I put air quotes around the word taught, what is being embedded in the minds of the children up there. We'll tell you what's happening in his kids' class. Do that next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I've said that this is the battle of our times, that our schools are being taken over by radicals who have agendas, whether it's critical race theory, whether it is about gender issues, whatever it might be. Parents have to stand up, and we have to get the schools back to just educating our kids on the basics of education. Everything else, families can handle in their own time, on their own dollar, but the schools shouldn't be doing any of this. I got an email from listener David, who has been in a little bit of a battle with the Snohomish School District over his son's seventh grade curriculum. And David joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. David, good to talk to you. Appreciate you reaching out to me.
Thanks, Dory. Appreciate your time.
Sure. So I played a little bit of the audio that you guys had recorded, but in case people are just tuning in, tell me what was happening in your son's classroom that had you concerned as a parent.
Yeah, I guess really what it had happened was an audio recording, a 15-minute video was given to my son on a wide range of LGBTQ topics and really, I guess my issue with that was that I wasn't given any insight or any notice that this type of education would be given to my child. So I want to stress that I don't have an issue. I have family, that immediate family that has chosen alternate lifestyles, and I fully support whatever views that they have. But I really want to be able to educate my child in those areas I was pretty disappointed
I think that's reasonable, because all parents really want from their schools is to educate their kids so they can go on to get either a higher education or a good trade job or whatever it might be. And it seems like too many people in the schools are about a social agenda. Okay, so what was the stuff that was in this video that you found troubling?
Really, what was in it? Basically, I felt like they're really trying to indoctrinate our children and forcing them to, use pronouns, educating them in areas where I feel as the parent, we should be able to select and give them the guidance rather than the school. I think the information that was given, I mean, it was a 15-minute video. It was from a wide range of issues. Some of it was good. Some of it was about inclusiveness, and it kind of comes across that it is good, but also too much education, too much focus on that, and just not sticking to the basics within what I view as government should be sticking to.
Well, I'll give you an example. I played some audio on my show yesterday of a PE teacher back in Virginia, and he was suspended from his job because he said, based on his Christian faith, he believes that God assigns gender, and he thinks that the schools and the wildfire attempt to try to let kids pick their own gender and switch from even day to day, he said that goes against his religious beliefs. He was suspended. A judge just ordered that this dad be reinstated. Now, I don't know if your objections to this are based on a Christian principle or anything else, and I really don't care. But what we are seeing is the schools are trying to mandate things that are being proven to be simply illegal, and they are suspending people who don't go along with it, whether it be teachers or kids or the punishment they will inflict upon parents who don't go along with it. And that's where this dogma has to be at least approached, and we have to talk about it some.
Right. Dory, I have, over this last week, I've had parents, teachers, members of the community sending me information about what is transpiring in the schools, and I don't even think people realize what's going on. I did just get a communication this morning where the fourth grade teacher had been asking the children if they're really happy with their sexual identity, and really kind of starting to push that type of indoctrination and question into these kids at a very young age that really just confuses them. And I just don't think those type of conversations should be had at a within our schools. These are conversations that need to be happened with the parents. Right now my goal is to collect data and on the schools and what they're doing so I can bring public awareness to the parents, because a lot of them are clueless on what's really going on.
Well, and I'll give you another example. There's an elementary school in Shoreline that was flying a pride flag right under the U.S. flag on the flagpole. And there are a lot of people who have raised, flag etiquette concerns or flag protocol concerns about that with me. But then they gave the kids little mini pride flags on sticks and had them go out and wave them around the flagpole. And a parent asked, are you going to do the same thing for the United States of America flag on Flag Day, which is coming up on June 14th? And the school said no. And it seems to me that if we care about inclusiveness and diversity, the American flag represents all of that. And yet they are trying to divide people into these warring factions by making everybody part of a smaller group, which is what they want. They want to divide people. They want people to be warring against each other. And instead, we already have a flag, the American flag, that unites all of us, whether you're liberal or conservative, whether you're gay or straight, whatever it might be. And they refuse to acknowledge that. They refuse to. In fact, they teach that the U.S. flag is a symbol of hatred. And that's one of the things that I find the most distressing, David.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that, too, in our local communities. It's it's really, really discouraging. It's kind of a slap in the face to the men and women that have served this country. I'm very disappointed. I'm very disappointed that our focus has to be so heavily on people's sexual identity rather than just the education and the history in our schools. So
what kind of feedback are you getting? I know the Snohomish area pretty well, and it's always been kind of a conservative, family-oriented area. What kind of feedback are you getting from parents or from administration, from politicians? What are you getting?
Well, I'm getting good, and I'm also getting bad. The good side of it is there's a lot of parents starting to speak up, and they're wanting to have visibility into what's really going on at the school. So that's really good. I think the big problem with that is they're not very well organized. People are asking me how to organize, how to get out there, and I don't even have the answers for that. And I think really that's going to be my focus. Some of the bad things, you know, being associated, and being associated as a racist or just a one-off crazy, it's pretty discouraging too, because that is not how it is. Being painted a picture that's not true. So,
well, that's how they try to silence people. I've talked about that a lot. The only thing that makes you a racist is if you act in a racist way. The only thing that makes you a transphobe is if you hate transgender people. And just because somebody says that about you doesn't mean it's true. But they use those words to try to silence anybody who dares challenge their attempted takeover of the schools. And that's where, you know, I try to caution everybody, because I have all kinds of things that are slung at me all the time, and nobody can define who and what I am except for my own actions. And if I'm not a racist and I'm not a transphobe, it doesn't matter what anybody says about me. That's not simply not true.
Yep. And so I guess my next steps really are to get visibility on what's being said in the school districts and what's being said between the school and the state level. So that's really where I'm targeting. I don't necessarily know how to do that. And then the other portion of that is really just to unite a conservative view and have one stance that says that, you know, this is unacceptable. So that's why I was reaching out to you, Dory, just to reach out to your larger audience and encourage parents to really stand up. Now's the time, and fight for your children.
Yeah,
we
it's more
do
important
we
now
have,
than yeah. ever. I absolutely agree with that. All right, David, we'll keep me posted as you continue down this path, and let me know how things go, okay?
Yeah, we'll do. I'll keep you in keep you in the correspondence so you can see all that transpires and provide all the documentation to you, too. So.
All right, sounds good. Okay, David, thanks for coming on with me. We'll stay in touch.
Thanks, Dory.
Okay, that's David. Bye. He's a parent of a seventh grader up in middle school in Snohomish, Centennial Middle School. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973, and we do have lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. I got a lot of text messages during the last conversation with the Snohomish dad from people who were talking about a story that's in the news today. And on issues like this, I try to be consistent. I've always said that I despise burning the American flag, but I love our First Amendment even more. And the Supreme Court has ruled that burning the flag is a protected First Amendment free speech expression. And so while I despise burning the flag personally, I am not for locking up people who do it because, again, Supreme Court has ruled that's a First Amendment expression. Well, the pride flag, you can go to prison if you burn that. There was a video on social media yesterday showing the burning of a pride flag, and it appeared to be high school students who did it, but there was a crumpled pride flag on fire. People were laughing in the background. This was up near Toronto. And the Toronto police, in a tweet, said, "We are aware of the video circulating on social media that shows a pride flag being burned. We understand that this incident has an impact on the 2SLGBTQ+ community." I don't know what the 2S at the beginning is. There's something new all the time. We want to reassure everyone that officers are investigating this as a hate-motivated incident so people could go to prison. It's not just Canada. There was a story in Des Moines, Iowa, a couple of years ago, where a guy burned a pride flag that he had stolen from a church, and he got 15 years in prison. And there were other things involved. He was a habitual offender, but it was the burning of the pride flag that was deemed a hate crime. So the question persists, if you are for the First Amendment and you reluctantly support people who burn the American flag as an expression of free speech, wouldn't you feel the same way? Because I'm guessing most of the people on the far left, they hate the American flag. They see it as a symbol of oppression and hatred, but they would want somebody to go to prison for burning the pride flag. I am consistent on this. I think both are outrageous acts, burning the American flag or burning the pride flag. But they should be treated as protected free speech, one as much as the other. If burning the U.S. flag is protected free speech, then burning any other flag should be as well, shouldn't it? Am I crazy here?
Yeah, Dory, that actually happened in Central Washington University as well. That a student was just arrested for stealing and burning the pride flag.
Oh, that was at Central. Okay, I just saw, mm-hmm. I found a story out of Toronto because a bunch of people were texting about it. I had not heard about the Central Washington one. Yeah. I'll get more info on that before the top of the hour. And then I got a text. We were talking about how apple pie has to be canceled because it's cultural appropriation. And you found a song, Sean, called Apple Pie. And from the 206, one listener says that the apple pie song should be part of the show's sign-off every day. It's a Dory staple now. And I only heard it the one time you played it last half hour. So could we just give it another listen to see if it would be appropriate for the show sign-off every day?
Sure.
Okay. My baby says I'm hot like apple pie. Yeah, he's so good with words, but I don't believe him.
I think that's how the listeners feel about me, isn't it?
That you're as hot as apple pie?
Yeah.
I mean, some might, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like next day cold apple pie. It's more like. What do you think? Sign off every day? I'm not feeling it.
No, I'm not okay. Feeling it either.
Okay. I appreciate the suggestion from the 206.
But I did look up Duddy, the last name of the woman in this band, Xylo, and she is as hot as apple pie, in my opinion.
Well, I don't want to hear that because I find that to be horribly sexist and horrible.
Well, that's
it's
your
a horrible
opinion,
thing
Dory.
To say. To say that somebody's attractive should get you canceled. Nobody's attractive. Yeah. Nobody's attractive. Yeah. Come on. This is America, Sean. We're all homely as can be, inside and out. Okay, let me take a quick time out here, and then the big lead at 2 is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.